your situation. And whatever the mood of the country is, that's the song that travels through the top of the charts, you know, because that's what we're going through at that point in time. But the song ministers to us to let us know we ought to keep it moving, move forward. I will follow you up forward, because God is not a reverse God. He's not a backward kind of God. So we bless the Lord for that. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to encourage ourselves, to surround ourselves with positive folk, surround ourselves with people that are trying to go somewhere, get somewhere, try to do something in life. Those that love the Lord, those that don't mind following God, not ashamed of God, those that will have encouraging words and listen to the right kind of music and read the right kind of stuff and turn to the right television station and watch the right movie and watch the right video and live in the right kind of environment. Keep it moving forward. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because if you don't take control of your life, something else will. Time over and just let it happen. It will. Stuff happens. But you ought to get in there and take control of your life. Because God has given you the ability. He gave us dominion. And then when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, we lost the dominion. But Jesus came back to give us the dominion back. Amen. So if you're in Christ, you have dominion and you have power. Amen. Not only over your life, but over the environment that you live in. You can speak the name of Jesus over so many situations. We act like we don't have no power. We act like we don't have no weapons. We act like we don't have an arsenal of prayer. But I come to let somebody know today, we need to start living beneath the blessings and get in that word and get a hold of your life and tell the enemy where he can go and where he can stay, because I'm moving forward. I know you don't want to hear it because you get so comfortable in mess. We get comfortable in mess. You know how to live in mess. We learn how to live in mess and accept mess. The challenge today is God said, I don't want you living in that mess. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of my children sweeping stuff up under the rug. And all it does is make a hump and make you trip when you walk. Oh, my God. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. If you just, you know, keep your focus there. Today, God will have us have a discussion about go through and get through. Go through and get through. In other words, God is not interested in stuck. You might spend a lot of time dealing with an issue, but don't get stuck. God is not interested in stuck. God says, go through and get through. And if you go through the message, you find out why God has the right to expect us to go through and get through. Father, bless your word. Bless us, God, as we have come together in this sanctuary, in thy presence, that we might enjoy your presence through the worship, through song, through prayer, through fellowship, and through the preaching and teaching of your word. God, help me get out of the way so you can have your way. And God, bless your people right now. Send an anointing over us that we may come together in the study of your word and leave here more encouraged, more informed, and more determined to follow you forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. When you carefully read the word of God, you should, after reading certain portions of scripture, come to the conclusion that God expects his children to go through challenges on the Christian journey. The fact that God is in control of our lives, or in control of a Christian's life, does not mean that God will not allow that person not to go through anything. I don't fault the old teachers of the church, but I think they should have added another sentence. They used to say, just come on to God. It's going to be all right. But they should have added some explanation of what they meant. It's going to be all right. They were, in fact, speaking in the proper tense of the English language. It's going to be. But they should have told me to hold on. They should have said that, you know, hold on, because it's going to be all right. But somehow we thought as soon as we came in the building, it was all right. But it had to get all right. Anybody dealing with something that's becoming all right, it wasn't all right when it happened, but it's becoming all right. And the only way it's becoming all right is because you hanging in there with God. God, I trust you. God, on Monday didn't look right, but it's going to be all right. We got to learn how to accept the word of God and understand when God says it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. He may not give you the day, date, and time and the location, but as Charles Stanley said this morning, if you're trusting in God, he don't need to give you all the details. Only detail you need is that God told you and that God said it. Because there's so many other things in our lives that we trust and we don't have the details. But when it comes to God, when it comes to church, when it comes to the Spirit of God, we got to have all the details. We'll go and buy something online with our credit card and believe it's going to rise. But we won't trust God like that. Come on, somebody. See that's crazy right there. We'll trust a whole lot of other things and won't even have all the details. But we won't trust God. We will just get all in God's face. I need to know when. Make the fleece dry. Make the fleece wet. I can't move. I want to know. Just walk out on faith. I found out that when you walk out on faith, guess what happens? God will let you know if you're wrong or right before you even get there. That's if you learn how to listen to God. Now, your will and my will can overpower God's will. See, we don't understand that. If it's something you want to do, you're going to do. Regardless of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Oh, the Holy Spirit will get out of your way. The Holy Spirit will get in your way, and the Holy Spirit will get out of your way. So those things that we want God to give us an answer for, and you listen to God, don't be so determined in your own will to do what you want to do, so that when God tells you what you need to do, you act like you don't hear him. And then we come back to the church talking about, God ain't working out. I guess he didn't work it out. He sent you an answer, but you didn't like the answer, so you did your own thing. That's why he didn't work it out. He didn't work it out according to your will, but he worked it out according to his will. Oh, my God. We have to understand that when we do what God says to do, sometimes he won't give you the whole package. He won't give you the whole answer. Sometimes he says, look, do what I say. Get the first base. If you get the first base, if you be obedient, then you can get the second base. And whatever I tell you to do on second base, do that. And if you get the second base and you're obedient, I'll get you the third base. And before you know, you got yourself a home run. You ain't even swing the bat. You just... One thing we need to know is God will never leave us nor forsake us. It's when we think that we don't have God in our lives is when he really is there. The strangest thing is when we get in, when we're on a roll, when God's blessing us and nothing's going on, we think it's us. We just gliding through. But God is always with us. In the toughest times, he's with us. But I learned that in the best times, that's when you ought to do your most prayer. Because sometimes when the tough times come, you can't even open your mouth. You know God can hear your heart. But, you know, you like to have some prayer up in reserve somewhere, if there's such a thing. I don't have a prayer up in reserve somewhere. You know, like you got stuff in your house. You got a little money put away for the rainy day, a little food put away, just in case you get snowed in, can't get to the market. You got your beans, and you got your stuff to go in your beans, and you got the stuff to go with your beans, and you got your cornbread, and you got your stuff all up in there. You got your little snacks where the kids can't get to, you know. I wish somebody knew about putting stuff up on reserve. Putting those stuff away. Pray, pray. You don't know what's going to happen. Just pray. God, I thank you. Just pray anyway. Even things are going fine. God, I bless you. God, I'm looking to you, God, for everything. You all I know, you all I got. In the spiritual realm, who knows anything better about your life than God? He'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what's going on in our lives. That's what's deep about it. Sometimes your friends can't handle what's going on in your life. They out. Love you, but I'm out. Anybody got a friend like that? Love you, homie. I'm out. Can't help you with that. As a matter of fact, for what you're going through right now, you can't even loan me nothing. I'm out. Oh. Jesus is a real friend. Hallelujah. He's a real friend. Because most of the time, he's looking to bless us. He's just looking for us to be obedient, and then in turn, he's going to bless us. He's not looking for this and looking for that. He's looking for a spirit of obedience. When we read scriptures like Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, that lets me know that God expects me to go through something. Think about that. Think about the scriptures that we just read over and over. That lets me know that God expects me to go through and get through. Look at Psalm 27. Not the entire psalm. Verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And when you read the rest of that, God expects us to go through and get through some stuff. God's letting us know some stuff gonna jump off. And that's not for us to be afraid. Because when you're prepared, you're not afraid. Amen. If you know you can fight, if you know God has given you what you need to handle situations, then you're not afraid. You're not running around like a coward. You're not pulling away. You're not retreating. You're not pulling away from the church. You're not going around crying about, God, this ain't working. This ain't working for me. If you line up with the word of God, it will work. Amen. Why should it work according to you and not according to him? He's the one that sent his son to die on the cross and got up on Resurrection Sunday morning for us. So I'm going with him and not with myself. Stop putting all that trust in yourself. Psalm 23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I tell you, when I read those kind of verses, I don't get upset. I just, it lets me know God expects me to go through something. And since he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I ain't all bent out of shape. I ain't all messed up. I'm still going to come to church. I'm not going to walk and look like I just sucked 4 or 5 lemons either. Because God is still, I wish I had a witness in here. Because some of us, as soon as one thing happened, we got the old sad face and my whole life of failing and ain't nothing no good and the church ain't no good and the pastors ain't no good and them prayer warriors ain't no good. I had a better life when I was outside of the church before I came to church. All that hell was breaking loose in my life. Yes, it was. You just didn't know it because the devil had you numb to it. The devil had you dumb to it. Oh, the devil's good. He think you out there doing your thing, having a party. You don't even know you're messing yourself up, drinking yourself to death, snorting yourself to death, shooting yourself up, messing yourself up, tearing ourselves apart. And the devil, I'm having a good life. All messed up. Don't even remember your name, your mama's name, your daddy's name. You're all messed up somewhere in the corner. But I'm having a good life. I'm having fun. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I ain't got to go nowhere. I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to worship nobody. I ain't got to go to nobody church. You got a messed up life. You might as well go ahead and admit it. That's why you mad at church folk. That's why most folk mad at us. They're not mad at us because we love Jesus. They mad at us because we look like we blessed, and we are. They mad at us because we go back and forth, and we blessed, and they see God doing things in our lives. That's why folk mad with us. That's why they hating on us. It's not because they hate our Jesus, but they don't want to put the time in. They don't want to invest the time that you and I invest in time in reading the Word of God, praying through the Word of God, believing the Word of God, exercising our faith in God, but they want the same things. There's folks on your job like that. They don't work hard as you work. But let the evaluation and merits come around. They want the same thing you got. I think I deserve the same thing. At least I came to work. A lot of folk come to work. Don't do nothing. A lot of folk come to church. Oh, never mind. Ooh. That's bad stuff. Let's go on with Isaiah 59:19, these kind of verses. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. That lets me know God expects me to go through and get through. We're going to get to the get through, how he expects us to get through, but he expects me to go through. Look at Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Come on. You read these. God is letting us know something. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:15. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. I mean, God expect me to go through a little something. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, that tells me something right there. He didn't say my warfare. He said our warfare. And somebody needs to know today, every war is not outside your house. Some of the war is right in your house. Some of the war is right in your marriage. Some of the war is right in your kids. So, you thought it was just outside the house? You better keep your guard up. Some of the war you need to fight is right in your house, but nobody destroys their own house. Oh, my God. See, prayer changes things. Amen. Don't throw out until you go up. Go up to God in prayer. Get some wisdom how to deal with this stuff. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:11-12. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, what does that mean? If I ain't got to fight, why I need some armor on? God's in control of my life. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. Why would he tell me, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I looked at that stuff and said, wait a minute, God expects me to go through a little something. But since he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I ain't scared. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Serious consideration of these few verses of Scripture will reveal to any believer, any seeker, that God expects us to go through something in this life. But it's because of God's promises to us that he expects us not only to go through, he expects us to get through. God does not expect his children to walk around carrying I'm stuck signs. There's nothing going on in your life where you ought to be talking about I'm stuck. And I'm saying, let me say, I'm stuck forever. I can't move. Can't go nowhere. This ain't working. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I can't hear the word of God. My prayers get kicked beyond the ceiling. The death in life is in the power of the tongue. We have to learn to encourage ourselves and speak to ourselves. Tell ourselves, you know what, God? I'm stuck for a minute. But I know you're faithful. I know you're going to work it out. So you get a headache trying to figure out how. Don't worry about the how. Put the Tylenol away. Don't worry about the how. That's God's business. If your car breaks down and you take it to your mechanic, he might say what needs to be done. Ain't none of your business. How? Just fix it. And the Lord is saying, you don't need all the detail. How I'm going to do it, then let me do it. Let me get a little glory out of it. Job, let me do it. Deborah, let me fix it. Esther, let me fix it. That's what God is telling us. Just let me fix it. If you release it to me, have enough trust in me to let me fix it. And you should trust me because you had it all these years. You ain't do nothing with it. It was beating you up. It was tearing you up. It was making you miserable. At least have a little trust in me. Give me a little shot at it, will you, please? You don't try it. Come on, give me a shot. Come on, give me a shot. Let me handle some of the stuff for you. That's what that scripture says. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. We spend overtime tripping out. We trip out. Overtime. For nothing. Because when I finish tripping, guess what? The problem is still there. When we finish tripping, you still got the same situation. Oh, my God. We be tripping. And what all we want to do is let off some steam. We want to let off some steam. We want to get off. And we get off on that one person. The straw that broke the camel's back. We upset. We mad anyway. Our life all jacked up anyway. So one of our kids do something, we really have it. We let it rip. Baby. We just, they get it all. And really got to do is just chill for a minute. Calm down. That's what messes your kids up when you calm. When you calm. When you tell them in a calm voice, I brought you into this world. Just as calm, you in the kitchen cooking, bring you some water. I brought you into this world. And I'll take your little narrow blank out. You know, you got to be cool with it. Oh, y'all so sanctified. Y'all ain't never heard that before. Oh, it's Sunday. Look how they sanctify. Take those crowns and halos off, put them under the pew. But God expects us to go through and get through. He doesn't expect us to get stuck. He expects us to go through and get through things because he is with us. He strengthens us and he empowers us. In our scripture for today in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-13, Paul uses Israel as an example of spiritual immaturity. Israel did not show enough faith and trust in God consistently, although God had blessed them tremendously. God has blessed some of us tremendously, but we don't show faith in him consistently because every time we get to a valley or a mountain, uh-oh. Right. Instead of saying, hey! Last year, only yesterday, and some of the old church folks said, who woke you up this morning? Who kept you through last night? That's the game of the enemy. The enemy wants to break up your faith. He wants to just bust it up and make you think there's no continuum in your faith. Yes, your faith grows. Your faith, it increases. And there's a continuum to your faith. Everything you go through ought to build up your faith. Every time you read the Word of God, it ought to build up your faith. And sometimes you say to yourself, God, I don't know why you're telling me this, God. I don't know why you're shoring up my foundation. God, I don't know. And don't be afraid of what might happen. Because if God's got you, He's got you. And whatever happens, you can't determine whether or not you're going to follow God by the situation or the incident. Because it's not over yet. And sometimes God allows stuff to happen to get our attention. Sometimes God allows stuff to happen to wake us up. Sometimes God allows stuff to happen to prepare us for the next thing. Charles Stanley said this morning in his message, said, you know what? Some people wonder, well, God, I come to church. Why you didn't give me what you said you're going to give? He said, God said, I'm not going to give it to you because you're not ready for it yet. All you're doing is coming to church. Your spirit ain't right. You're not mature enough to handle what you're asking for. You're just going through the motion. But when your motion becomes a reality, when your motion becomes real worship, and my worship is for real. One person you can't fool God. We can play games with each other all day long. We can have people think we're on our way to glory. But God's got another story. Paul uses this as an example to show us what happens when you don't have consistent faith. That this caused them to experience many unnecessary downfalls, pitfalls, disobedience, even death. When you go home, read 1 Corinthians 10, and you'll find out all the stuff they went through, and it's hooked up with the book of Numbers. You know, when they just were disobedient to God and just went out after all these other gods. And we look at that scripture and say, how could Israel do that? The same thing we do. We got other gods. We go whoring after other gods. There's other stuff in our lives that take place of God. There's other stuff we put in front of God. There's other reasons why we don't come to church. And it ain't just because we don't want to come or can't come. We got some other gods that we put in front of God. Amen. Oh, my. We need to look at that thing. We need to look at that sometimes. What is it that blocks me from serving my God? Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12 in the Living Bible, all these things happen to them, the Israelites, as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things. They were written down, they were recorded, so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. And verse 12 says, so be careful. If you're thinking, oh, I would never be like that, let this be a warning to you and to all of us. See, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Paul points out an awesome truth of the Word of God for all believers. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and the complete Jewish Bible says this. No temptation has seized you beyond what people normally experience, and God can be trusted not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, King James Version says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now that word escaping got nothing about you getting off, as my kids laugh at me about scot-free. Escape means endurance in the Greek, that you'll be able to endure. Because we learn through the stuff we go through. Children learn through the stuff. They learn how to walk from falling down. Hey, your child learn how to walk. Let them bump their head on your little coffee table. They'll look at you like, you better put something on that. They won't say it. They look back at you like, you knew that was there. You can know the child talk. They look back at you like, now you knew that was there. In light of 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and the title of our message for today, Go Through and Get Through. Let's see how God, as God's children, why God expects us to go through and get through. Number one, understand temptation from a spiritual point of view. Number one, understand temptation from a spiritual point of view. It's a spiritual temptation. And because it's a spiritual temptation, the powers and the promises of God can be applied to your situation. So number one, understand temptation. It's a test. It's a trial. But understand it from a spiritual perspective means that since it is a spiritual, since it's coming against my spirit, even though I feel it in my flesh, the promises and the power of God can be applied to the test that I'm going. In other words, I can take what God has given me, what I know about God, and the power of my God in my life, and I can apply it to take this test. I can apply it to this trial. Because you got to talk about the permissive will of God. Some stuff we put ourselves into, and some stuff God allows to happen. But when I put myself in or God allowed it, I got enough to say, Lord, I can't handle it. Lord, this is a tough temptation. Lord, this is a tough test. And see, it might hit you in the flesh, but it's real spiritual. Why is it spiritual? Because the devil's trying to get you off of God's side of the house. That's what makes it spiritual. Understand temptation from a spiritual point of view. Because verse 13 says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The word of God says, there hath no temptation take you, but such as is common to man. What are you trying to say? It's normal stuff jumping off. It's normal stuff. It's not so outrageous. You can't get to church. You can't out testify me with your stuff. You think that's something. The devil puts me twice. And I'm going to ask you, how you get that close? The stuff that you and I have to deal with when we're following God is not uncommon. What's uncommon is the power that you and I have in the blood of Jesus Christ to fight the situation, to repel the situation, to resist the situation. For the word of God, resist the devil and he'll flee. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Number one, understand temptation from a spiritual point of view. Spiritual perspective. Number two, understand God's faithfulness. Look at verse 13. But God is faithful. That's all I had to read. Even though I'm going through something, point number two, but God is what?
Faithful.
He'll never leave me, nor what?
Faithful.
But God is what? Faithful. That means that since the temptation is common to man, it can't blow God's mind. Therefore, God's not going to run. Anybody had a friend, you got in the fight, you looked around for them, they gone? He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. You know you're talking stuff because you got some back up. But you know they didn't know, you didn't know they had backed all the way up. That means you can trust God. God's faithfulness means you can trust God. No matter what you're going through, I know you're overwhelmed. You're about ready to just blow a gasket. But God said, hold on. I got you. I got this thing covered. I made you in my own image. I know what I put in you. I know how much you're able to bear. I know better than you know. But I'm trying to show you what I know about you. I'm trying to show you a spiritual character, your spiritual integrity, and your spiritual fortitude. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you that all the time you was in Sunday school as a little kid, and all the Bible verses you read, and all the time you came to worship, I'm trying to show you I was building up something in you. I was building an arsenal in you. I was building up a wall in you. And all I'm doing now in my faithfulness is calling on that wall in you. God is faithful. That means God won't leave you. He'll be with you. You can trust him. You don't have to look around for him. The fact that you're going through, he's right there. He's there all the time anyway. And then he said, he's so faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So most of the time, when you're going through something, you worry about how embarrassed you're going to be. You're going to be embarrassed. You'll be hammered this day. Go back to the word and say, what did God promise me? You ain't got to worry about what your David's going to say. You ain't got to worry about what church going to say. Because God's not going to allow anything to come in your life that he hasn't given you the ability and the power to handle through him. Not on your own. Stop going out getting beat up, all messed up, all by yourself. Don't go by yourself. Take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go, no matter what the situation. You in the doctor's office, they got bad news. They say, I got bad news. They put the good news on the bad news. You get the bad news, but the name of Jesus is the... You got to learn how to do that sometimes. You got to learn to encourage yourself. Speak to yourself. Walking around all messed up, depressed. Well, let me take one of my medicines. All I do is just masquerade it, mask it. It ain't really changed nothing. You just walk around happy, don't know why. I'm so happy. All you do is jump around with your problems. Now, I know. Now, sometimes you got to take your medication. Okay, let me. I don't know about getting in trouble. Sometimes the doctor does know that you need some medications, okay? You need some medications. But sometimes that stuff just masks it, because when you come down off of it, you feel worse sometimes. You ever see somebody come down off some medicine that's supposed to keep them all night? They start to go, my problems still ain't going away. God won't do you like that. God won't leave you hanging like that. Learn how to get rid of some stuff. Don't hold it in. They're going to not get to the root of that thing. We be jumping off on each other. You know why you jumping off? You ain't really mad at that person. There's something in you that you never dealt with. You put the makeup on, you sprayed some cologne on, and came on out to church. I admire you for that. But we haven't dealt with the issue. The issue is still there. All somebody got to do is come by and press that button. You had an awesome worship service. The word of God, you received it. The divine glory choir sang. You got your new clothes on and your shiny shoes. But all somebody did was press that button on that unresolved issue that you never gave to God, that you never got rid of, and now you ready to explode. You got enough respect for the church not to fight them in church. But if they step outside, oh, baby, pass them a note. Or just take that person out after the benediction. You and me. And I don't mean prayer. That's when you know something wrong. You sitting in the presence of God. You sitting in God's house and you write notes like, I'm against you. Help us, somebody. Because the doors of the church are open. Some of everybody up in here today. Somebody hating somebody right now. Roll their eyes on them right now. She thinks she kissed. He think he all that. We need to let the world know we real folk trying to strive. That's why folk come to church and new people come in and be shocked. I know all that went on in church, but guess what? The church is a hospital. A lot of us got spiritual sicknesses going on. And we got sin, but the diagnosis is sin and the prescription is the blood of Jesus. And we're just trying to get well. We are recuperating. So don't come here thinking everything perfect in the church. That's a big lie. We're striving towards perfection in the church. I can't promise people what will not happen to them here. Some folks say all kind of stuff during the message. They're saying all kind of stuff. I don't know what people be saying. Say all kind of stuff through the bathroom. You pray, you come to get a good message, they down the bathroom about, well, you know Pastor Carmen preached about an hour, so I hope you're ready. Hope he bought you a pillow. They ain't right. They visiting. Why you do that? Why you pour that bad spirit in there? Because you got somewhere to go. And you don't look bad when you get up and leave early. That ain't right. Think about what you say out your mouth sometimes. Somebody call you. But what time is that service? I don't know. I ain't going. Yeah, call somebody else. Call Dick and Tony and them. They always around. Oh! Who gonna do this on? Well, you know, Pastor, co-pastor gonna be there. They got to be there. How about you? How about come getting yours? But God is faithful. And God teaches us, he wants us to be faithful. Faithful to what he's called us to do. Faithful to him. Faithful to worship. Faithful to service. Faithful to loving him. That's what God would have us do. The entire body of Christ ought to be busy with their gifts. But some folk just don't want to get busy. They think it's just, all I need to do is come and get it and leave. Now, some people don't even get it. They just come to show and leave. It's like show and tell. I showed up so I could tell my family I went. Then we go back home and tell our family members, well, at least I went to church. Well, what that mean? At least I went to church, and y'all sitting there drinking the same stuff, snorting the same stuff, watching the same old dirty movie, talking the same old crap. Where's the distinction? Let your light so shine before men that the men might see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. The man doesn't light a candle or a bushel and put it under a bushel that be hid, but it's on the city, it's on the hill. God needs some ambassadors for him. That's why I said when you're going through something, your family know you're going through, the people that work know you're going through, but I'm going to bless you in this temptation because I want to get the glory out of your life. I want to let the folk know that have been talking about you, that have been doubting me, that have been putting their mouth on you, that I'm working in your life, that the God you serve is yet still faithful. The God you serve is yet still powerful. If you don't have any other reason why you went through something, it's for the glory of God. You know how many people know you, how many people watch you, and God said, let me throw this thing away. That's what he did with Job. Everybody around was talking about Job. Oh, Deacon Job. Job supposed to bear all this. He supposed to bear all this and all that. Oh, good old Job. And they start talking about him. They start messing with him. His friends say, you must have done something. Anybody ever do you like that? You're trying to live your life for Christ. You're trying to do the best you can. And all they can come in your house and say, but you must have. I told you that church stuff ain't work. Look at you. Look at you. Look at you. All sick up in the hospital with cancer. Look at you. Look at you. I said, don't look at you. Because at least if I die, I know where I'm going. You got to learn how to tell folks. Be ashamed of God. You let them know. God, let folks know. But God said, I'm going to work this thing out. But give me the glory. And while you're going through it, the report is God's still working on it. Every time your family and friends see you, how you doing? I'm fine. God's still working on it. I'm not denying I got issues. I'm not denying I got a problem. I'm not denying I am concerned but not worried. But God's still working on it. So I can't give you an answer yet. But when God answers you, don't you hesitate. You get out your silica phone and you text everybody. Text everybody. Text them all. God did it. God did it. God. All the people said, God did it. That folks don't want to be around you. Don't want to serve your God. Because you never give them the report that God blessed you. All they got was a negative report. Child, I'm going through this. Child, I'm going through that. Tell them, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no man. I ain't got no woman. I ain't got no job. I ain't got this. I ain't got no joy. That's all they get. But when God moves in your life, they don't get none. They don't get that report. They didn't get that report. So you gotta give the full report. What did God do? The faithful God did something else. Number one, understand temptation from a spiritual perspective. Number two, understand God's faithfulness. He won't leave you nor forsake you. No matter what it is, there's no problem you that I can go through that's so great that it blows God's mind. God's sitting somewhere scratching his head. Don't forget, read the book of Genesis. You got a God that made something out of nothing. And then number three, understand God's provisions. In the midst of our trial and temptation, the test will not be more than you and I are prepared for. He'll give us a way to escape. That means he'll create a way for us to endure it, and we will be victorious. What he's simply saying is, when you acknowledge that you're going through, but you acknowledge me while you're going through, I'm going to send a powerful force in your life. I'm going to give you something that will give you the ability to look at that thing and speak the name of Jesus to it. Say, I know what you look like, but I know what God promised me. I know what the word of God. God said that he will not allow me to go to anything that I can't handle. And I know my God is faithful to his word. Faithful is he that calleth you will also do it. So that's the third thing you got to understand. God has provision for you. No matter what you're going through, get it out of your hands. Get it out of your hands. Give it to God. You struggling. Give it to God. You can't handle it. Every time you try to handle it, it turns to a great big mess or a great big argument. You get somewhere, you crying, you're all messed up. No, give it to God. And you can still cry, but at least God has it. That's how you get hope inside of your tears. Hope comes inside your tears when you got somebody working on your behalf. Lord have mercy, Jesus. That's where the joy comes from, inside your tears. That's why it's a peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable. That's why folks look at you and can't understand why you still stand. Because they don't know the faithfulness of your God. They don't know the power of your God. They don't know every time something jump off in your life, they don't know how you go into your private closet and your private corner and you tell God all about it. And they don't understand you don't leave that closet until God has heard everything. Until you felt the presence of God respond to you, my child, pat you on the back, it's going to be all right. You feel the embrace of God. You feel the presence of God. You feel the power of God. You feel the love of God in your life. And then you walk out of that closet, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Tell that bill collector, all right, come on and turn it off. We got so much power and don't know how to utilize it. Because we got the wrong folk all up in our ears. We listen to the wrong folk. Take the counsel from God and go with it. Don't get messed up. God wants us to go through it and get through it. Why? Because he's right there. Go through and get through it. Why? He's right there. He gives you the power. He gives us the victory. He gives us everything we need. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when you're going through something and some strange person comes to you and say something to you and encourage you, don't say, who are you? How did you know? Just thank God that he sent somebody. Well, was it Elisha that had to ask the widow woman to give him some bread and water or something? She said, all I got is enough to leave my boy. And then we're going to die. She didn't know this man was bringing her hope when he asked her for some bread. Sometimes God said, bring me some first. God, what are you talking about? You mean I got to go bless somebody before you bless me? Wow. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There's been things that happened in our lives we just thought it was the end. We thought no way were we ever going to jump back from this or recover from this. And here you are today, sitting in God's house, talking about how good God is. The enemy spoke situations and spoke stuff to you. They're going to take this. The enemy going to take this from you and that from you and that from you. And here you are with all your possessions, clothed and in your right mind. If it had not been for the Lord. Oh, we got some victories right in this church. Some victories in the body of Christ. I know we don't take enough time to tell it all, but there's some folk here today that the devil's trying to take their life, take their mind, take their spirit, take their life, their house. And some stuff God allowed to jump off, but he doubled back and took care of you. He said, I know you may not understand that, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to heal your wounds. I'm going to dry your tears for your eyes. You'll understand it better by and by. Just don't let go of my hand. Keep on holding to my unchanging hand. Keep on believing in me. Go through and get through. That's what God is telling us today. Go through and get through. Don't sit down on the sidewalk. Don't sit down on the curb. Put your hands, what? You going to throw your hands up? I look to the hills from whence coming my help. That's why the Holy Spirit, when you can't say your word, you cannot say, when stuff is messing over, the Holy Spirit can understand your moaning and your groaning. Oh my God. And interpret that because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and the will of God for your life. We ought to dig in that word of God and find out exactly what God would have us know, what God would have us do at every turn of our life. Consult God. Yeah. Bug God to death. God, I got to ask you, what toothpaste, what soap? God. Come on, somebody. That's how deep it gets sometimes. God is a faithful God. His promises and blessings allow us to bring him glory through victory because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. God loves us and whatever we go through, let us know that God is right there with us. He is aware and he is faithful. That's one thing about the presence of God. You ain't got to go crazy trying to find a number to call him. All you got to do is say, Jesus. He's closer than you think. He got there so quick, he's like, poof, hey, man, what's up? he's all up on you. Grace and mercy shall follow me all the day. He was right up on. Yes, he was. He was right up on that. That's the one that turned your face back and you try to turn back and look at it. And he didn't want you to become a pillar of salt. But Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was so close on you, you started turning back and you're Oh, I wish y'all got that one. That's the Spirit of God that's telling you that. You talking about, Pastor, I don't know who that was talking to me. That's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something, trying to put you on the right course, give you the right direction, give you the right counsel so you won't fall into the same ditch. God expects us to go through and get through because he is there.
He empowers us to realize that we can be victorious in and through his name. There's nobody greater than I am God. But you know what? Let's stop fooling ourselves. Don't expect the blessings if we're not going to surrender and serve him. Ain't no part-time thing in this thing. We got to yield unto him. You know, it's like expecting a paycheck from a company you don't even work for. Don't know you. Don't know you exist. God needs to have a relationship. He needs to know that you really want to be his child full time. Full time. You don't have any part-time children. Oh, my, my, my.
God loves us so much that when we were yet in our sin, Christ, he sent Christ Jesus to die for us and redeem us back to himself so we can have a relationship. That's why Christianity is a very, very powerful faith, because it's not religion, it's relationship. As I told you before, you say the name of Jesus, everybody would turn their head. You can say all these other guys' names, small G-O-D-S, and they're cool with that. But say Jesus, wait a minute now. Too many people saying, Jesus, take the name off the money. In God we trust, take out the money. Come on. What? The Pledge of Allegiance? One nation under who? Take that thing out the school. But they didn't know. They could take it out the school. They can't take it out my mouth. Can't take it out my house. Can't take it out my mind. Don't ever believe you're defeated. I went to see my advisor on Thursday because I said, look here. I'm in the seminary, man. You know, I'm almost a co-owner here. I'm spending my money up in here. And I need to see some light at the end of the tunnel, my brother. So I went up there and he said, well, I'm not sure if you can do this and do that. And I sat there. All I heard from him was, his lips moved like, blah, 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 blah. You know why? Because I know what God told me. I know what God told me before I went in there. I know what God showed me. Because he scratched his little bald head. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I started looking at all the courses that were offered, and God began to lift up certain courses up to my eyes. He goes, like they lift up off the page. I said, what's the matter with T-H-L-E, such and such and such? He said, what's that number? Oh, that will work. Oh, okay. All right. Then I said, what's the matter with this other course, T-H-L-E, such? Oh, that will work too. You got to know what God told you when you go in there. Because they try to change the atmosphere, don't let them change your atmosphere. Don't change your mind. But God told me, he said, you got good manners. He said, tell them thank you. I told my advisor, thank you. And he said, no, thank you. And I did not tell him, no, thank you. Because I knew what happened. You need to believe God. God is able to deliver. No matter what we're facing, no matter what it is we've been through, no matter what we're going through, God is able to deliver us if you want to be delivered. Some folks don't want to be delivered. I'm sorry to announce that to you. Some folks don't want to be delivered because we learn how to like take that problem and get over. We prostitute the problem. Oh, my, my, my. We hold on to it because we get money. We get sympathy. I'd rather be healed. Oh, woo! I ain't messing around. I had to go for one of them procedures, you know. The men got to get them procedures. Take the name of Jesus with you. Amen. Don't mess around. I'm in the doctor's office. I'm praying. As soon as I go to my appointment and they bring you in there, take all your vital signs, I say, excuse me, how vital am I? I didn't know my blood pressure. I didn't know. I had to walk a dead. But you got to see God. You got to have God with you. You got to be faithful. No matter if you get bad news, be faithful unto God, because God is faithful unto you. God can turn any situation around. He can hear you if he wants it. If he doesn't want to hear you, it's all right, because I already know where I'm headed. I already know where I'm going. I already know what God's going to do in my life. That's why there's a difference between a homegoing and a funeral. It was a homegoing, all hope ain't lost. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they sleep. They're not dead. You just can't hang with them no more. There's power in the name of Jesus.
James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Proverbs 10:18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does Acts 4:12 say? Somebody turn there with me. Acts 4:12. Let's read that together. I'm talking about the name of Jesus. When you're going through something, you can get through it. Just speak to that thing in the name of, by the blood, by the word of God. I denounce this situation in my life. God, I know you're going to handle it. Acts 4:12, what did it say? In any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why would I use a verse like that? Because salvation is more than you and I just going to heaven. Salvation is your life, your power, your victory, your mercy, your grace, your love. Everything is changed when you get saved. Close with me with Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Go through and get through. Don't get stuck, y'all. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't let the enemy get you stuck on something, because then nothing else can happen in your life. If the lock gets stuck on your car door, how are you going to lock it? Amen. Don't get stuck. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Will y'all read that with me? Let this mind, y'all there yet? No, some people not there yet. King James Version. Help your neighbor out. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. We ready? Did I get all yeses? All right, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, look, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look out for verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's something about that name, Jesus. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And I declare to you today, the devil's not going to get the abundant part of my life. I declare war on the enemy. I've never been one for dropping names. But when I found out the power in the name of Jesus, I'm a name dropper for Jesus. I'll drop his name anytime, anywhere, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Who do you belong to? Who's your Savior? Who's your Lord? Who keeps you in the midst of it all? Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.